Welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for In the News and American Stories, coming up after As It Is.
From VOA Learning English, this is As It Is. I'm Anna Mateo. On today's show, we will talk about, wait a minute. What was I going to talk about? I was just about to say, memory. When we are young, we expect to remember things easily. But as we age, it gets harder and harder to remember things. Later in the show, we will talk about how some popular drinks may help keep your memory sharp and active. But first, we talk about another way to improve memory. Researchers have found that an aging brain does not have to lose its ability to remember. All it takes is some training and exercises. We have a useful expression for that. Use it or lose it. Here is Christopher Cruz with more.
Some kinds of mental skills naturally decrease as people get older. Yet research seems to show that some training can improve such skills. A recently published study also appears to demonstrate that the good effects of training can last for many years after that training has ended. Researchers at Johns Hopkins University in Maryland wanted to learn how long memory and thinking skills would last in older people who trained to keep them. The people were part of a 10-year research project. They were taught methods meant to improve their memory, thinking, and ability to perform everyday tasks. More than 2,800 volunteered for the study, called ACTIVE, short for Advanced Training for Independent and Vital Elderly. Most started when they were more than 70 years old. One class trained participants in skills including how to remember word lists. Another group trained in reasoning. A third group received help with speed of processing, speed of receiving and understanding information. A fourth group, the control group, did not get any training. Earlier results had established that the training helped the participants for up to 5 years. Now, lead study writer George Reebok says the research showed most of the training remained effective a full 10 years later.
We were wondering whether those effects would endure over time and would still be there 10 years following the training, and in fact, that's exactly what we found.
The effect on memory, however, seemed not to last as long. Still, the older people in any of the three classes generally reported less difficulty in performing daily activities than the control group. Professor Reebok and his team are now considering ways to provide such training for lower cost.
We are trying to make the training more broadly available. For example, we have a grant right now from the National Institute on Aging to try to make a web-based version of the active memory training and put the training online.
One question still to be studied is how only a few hours of training can still be effective after 10 years. The study appears in the Journal of the American Geriatrics Society. I'm Christopher Cruz.
And I'm Anna Mateo. You are listening to As It Is from VOA Learning English. Thank you. We just heard how mental exercises and training can keep your memory working at full speed. But did you know that some common everyday drinks can also improve your long-term memory? Many people say they cannot start their day without first having a cup of coffee or tea. People say these drinks help them think clearly and feel more awake. This is because of caffeine, a substance found in some plants. Caffeine helps to give a jump start to the nervous system. Now, a report says it may also improve long-term memory. The report was published earlier this year in the journal Nature Neuroscience. Mike Yassa is a neurobiology professor at the University of California, Irvine. He and other researchers wanted to know if caffeine could improve a person's memory. They asked a group of individuals to learn something new. Then the same people were given caffeine, the active ingredient in coffee, tea, and chocolate. Professor Yassa explains.
So after you learn anything, it takes some time for that memory to strengthen and become resistant to forgetting. And over the first 24 hours is actually where most of the forgetting happens. So that's really where we wanted to intervene with caffeine and see if we can help reduce this forgetting to some extent.
According to Dr. Yassa, the first 24 hours are when we are most at risk of forgetting something new we've learned. That is the time to drink a strong cup of coffee or tea or eat some chocolate. This is what he and his team did. They took 160 caffeine-free people and showed them pictures of everyday objects. These people were asked if the objects could be found inside the house or outdoors. Then some of the subjects were given a caffeine pill. The others were given a placebo, a pill containing nothing. 24 hours later, the subjects were shown the exact same images from the day before. They were also shown images with slight differences, and some completely new images. Both groups correctly identified the exact same and completely new pictures. But those who took the caffeine pill were better at spotting the pictures that were slightly different. Professor Yassa says their answers help to show the effects of caffeine on memory.
When they actually had to make a memory judgment and say, is this the same item I've seen before or not? That was a really important bit of information for us. And we find that if they're on caffeine, they're much more likely to make the right decision.
The amount of caffeine the researchers used in the study was similar to one cup of strong coffee. The researchers did not see any improvement to memory from smaller doses of caffeine or when it was given an hour before viewing the images. Do you have any tricks for remembering things? Share it in our comments section. I'm Anna Mateo. Join us again tomorrow for another As It Is.
In the News is next, followed by American Stories. You can read and listen to our programs and download MP3s at learningenglish.voanews.com. You can learn with us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at VOA Learning English.
From VOA Learning English, this is In the News. American Secretary of Defense Chuck Hagel was in China this week. His visit was an example of efforts by the two countries to expand military ties. The defense secretary met with Chinese President Xi Jinping and visited China's only aircraft carrier, the Liaoning. But Mr. Hagel's trip to China was short on friendly exchanges. The two sides spoke of cooperation, but openly disagreed about territorial disputes in East Asia. Secretary Hagel arrived in Beijing after a stop in Japan. He told reporters that China must reduce tensions with its neighbors and be more open about its military strength. China and Japan are involved in a territorial dispute over islands in the East China Sea. The islands are called the Diaoyu in China and Senkaku in Japan. They are rich in natural resources and provide valuable waters for fishing. Last year, China established an air defense identification zone over the disputed islands. China claimed the right to take military action against any aircraft without approval to fly over the area. Secretary Hagel criticized the decision to create the air defense zone over the islands.
Every nation has a right to establish air defense zones, but not a right to do it unilaterally with no collaboration, no consultation. That adds to tensions, misunderstandings, and could eventually add to and eventually get to dangerous conflict.
China's defense minister strongly disagreed with the defense secretary. General Chang Wenchuan noted that territorial issues are very important to his country. He said China would not incite Japan to action, but is prepared to protect its territory. In his words, "On this issue, we will make no compromise, no concession, no trading, not even a tiny bit of violation is allowed." This was the third time that Defense Minister Chang and Secretary Hagel have met since they each took office. This week, Secretary Hagel made a visit to China's National Defense University. He spoke about the need for openness as a way to avoid misunderstandings. One officer accused the United States of taking sides in Asia as a way to incite tensions and block the rise of China's military. The United States denies it wants to contain China. Jonathan Pollack is with the Brookings Institution, a Washington-based research group. He says U.S. officials have taken a somewhat harder line in how they deal with issues of importance to Asia. Secretary Hagel ended his 10-day trip to Asia with a visit to China's neighbor, Mongolia. He signed a new deal to provide more military training and assistance to Mongolia. The U.S. currently provides about $3 million in military sales and training to the country. Other nations have strengthened military ties with the United States. This has led China to criticize the U.S. for seeking to contain its rise. But observers say relations between the two sides have improved over the past year or so. The two militaries have held several joint exercises since last year. And that's In the News from VOA Learning English. I'm Steve Ember.
Now, the VOA Special English Program, American Stories. Today, we present the short story, Dr. Heidegger's Experiment, by Nathaniel Hawthorne. Here is Barbara Klein with the story.
That very unusual man, old Dr. Heidegger, once invited four friends to meet him in his office. There were three white-bearded gentlemen, Mr. Medborn, Colonel Killigrew, and Mr. Gascoigne. And there was a thin old lady whose husband had died, so she was called the Widow Wycherly. They were all sad old creatures who had been unfortunate in life. As a young man, Mr. Medborn had lost all his money in a badly planned business deal. Colonel Killigrew had wasted his best years and health enjoying the pleasures of women and drink. Mr. Gascoigne was a ruined politician with an evil past. As for the Widow Wycherly, tradition tells us that she was once a great beauty, but shocking stories about her past had led the people of the town to reject her, so she lived very much alone. It is worth stating that each of these three men were early lovers of the Widow Wycherly, and they had once been on the point of killing each other over her.
"My dear old friends," said Dr. Heidegger, "I would like your help in one of my little experiments." He motioned for them to sit down.
Dr. Heidegger's office was a very strange place. The dark room was filled with books, cobwebs, and dust. An old mirror hanging between two bookcases was said to show the ghosts of all the doctor's dead patients. On another wall hung a painting of the young woman Dr. Heidegger was to have married long ago, but she died the night before their wedding after drinking one of the doctor's medicines. The most mysterious object in the room was a large book covered in black leather. It was said to be a book of magic. On the summer afternoon of our story, a black table stood in the middle of the room. On it was a beautiful cut glass vase. Four glasses were also on the table. Dr. Heidegger was known for his unusual experiments, but his four guests did not expect anything very interesting. The doctor picked up his black leather book of magic. From its pages, he removed a dried-up old rose.
"This rose," said the doctor, "was given to me 55 years ago by Sylvia Ward, whose painting hangs on this wall. I was to wear it at our wedding. Would you think it possible that this ancient rose could ever bloom again?"
"Nonsense," said the Widow Wycherly with a toss of her head. "You might as well ask if an old woman's lined face could ever bloom again."
"See," answered Dr. Heidegger.
He reached for the vase and threw the dried rose into the water it contained. Soon a change began to appear. The crushed and dried petals moved and slowly turned from brown to red. And there was the rose of half a century looking as fresh as when Sylvia Ward had first given it to her lover.
"That is a very pretty trick," said the doctor's friends. "What is the secret?"
"Did you ever hear of the Fountain of Youth?" asked Dr. Heidegger. "The Spanish explorer Ponce de Leon went in search of it centuries ago, but he was not looking in the right place. If I am rightly informed, the famous Fountain of Youth is in southern Florida. A friend of mine has sent me the water you see in the vase."
The doctor filled the four glasses with water from the Fountain of Youth. The liquid produced little bubbles that rose up to the silvery surface. The old guests agreed to drink the water, although they did not believe in its power.
"Before you drink, my friends," the doctor said, "you should draw up a few general rules as guidance before you pass a second time through the dangers of youth. You have had a lifetime of experience to direct you. Think what a shame it would be if the wisdom of your experiences did not act as a guide and teacher."
The doctor's four friends answered him with a laugh. The idea that they would ever repeat the mistakes of their youth was very funny.
"Drink, then," said the doctor. "I am happy that I have so well chosen the subjects of my experiment."
They raised the glasses to their lips. If the liquid really was magical, it could not have been given to four human beings who needed it more. They seemed as though they had never known youth or pleasure. They looked like they had always been the weak, unhappy creatures who were bent over the doctor's table. They drank the water. There was an almost immediate improvement among the guests. A cheerful glow like sunshine brightened their faces. They looked at one another, imagining that some magic power had really started to smooth the lines on their faces.
"Quick, give us more of this wondrous water," they cried. "We are younger, but we are still too old." "Patience," said Dr. Heidegger, who watched the experiment with scientific coolness. "You have been a long time growing old. Surely you could wait half an hour to grow young."
Again, he filled their glasses. The four guests drank the liquid in one swallow. As the liquid passed down their throats, it seemed to change their whole systems. Their eyes grew clear and bright. Their hair turned from silver to darker shades.
"My dear widow, you are lovely," cried Colonel Killigrew,
who watched as the signs of age disappeared from her face. The widow ran to the mirror. The three men started to behave in such a way that proved the magic of the Fountain of Youth's water. Mr. Gascoigne's mind turned to political topics. He talked about nationalism and the rights of the people. He also told secrets softly to himself. All this time, Colonel Killigrew had been shouting out happy drinking songs while his eyes turned towards the curvy body of the widow Wycherly. Mr. Medbourne was adding dollars and cents to pay for a proposed project. It would supply the East Indies with ice by linking a team of whales to the polar icebergs. As for the widow Wycherly, she stood in front of the mirror, greeting her image as a friend she loved better than anything in the world.
"My dear old doctor," she cried, "please give me another glass."
The doctor had already filled the glasses again. It was now near sunset, and the room was darker than ever. But a moon-like light shined from within the vase. The doctor sat in his chair, watching. As the four guests drank their third glass of water, they were silenced by the expression on the doctor's mysterious face. The next moment, the exciting rush of young life shot through their blood. They were now at the happy height of youth. The endless cares, sadness, and diseases of age were remembered only as a troubled dream from which they had awoken.
"We are young," they cried.
The guests were a group of happy youngsters, almost crazy with energy. They laughed at the old-fashioned clothing they wore. They shouted happily and jumped around the room. The widow Wycherly, if such a young lady could be called a widow, ran to the doctor's chair and asked him to dance.
"Please excuse me," answered the doctor quietly. "My dancing days were over long ago, but these three young men would be happy to have such a lovely partner."
The men began to argue violently about who would dance with her. They gathered around the widow, each grabbing for her. Yet by a strange trick, owing to the darkness of the room, the tall mirror is said to have reflected the forms of three old gray men competing for a faded old woman. As the three fought for the woman's favor, they reached violently for each other's throats. In their struggle, they turned over the table. The vase broke into 1,000 pieces. The water of youth flowed in a bright stream across the floor. The guests stood still. A strange coldness was slowly stealing over them all. They looked at Dr. Heidegger, who was holding his treasured rose. The flower was fading and drying up once more. The guests looked at each other and saw their looks changing back.
"Are we grown old again so soon?" they cried.
In truth, they had. The water of youth had powers that were only temporary.
"Yes, friends, you are old again," the doctor said. "And the water of youth lies wasted on the ground. But even if it flowed in a river at my door, I still would not drink it. This is the lesson you have taught me."
But the doctor's four friends had learned no such lesson. They decided at that moment to travel to Florida and drink morning, noon, and night from the Fountain of Youth.
You have heard the American story, Dr. Heidegger's Experiment, by Nathaniel Hawthorne. Your storyteller was Barbara Klein. I'm Mario Ritter. Listen again next week for another American story in VOA Special English.